Well, happy Advent. Today is Sunday, December 2nd, 2018, and for Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana, a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, it's the first Sunday of Advent, so it's a great, great season that we're entering now. The gospel reading today is Luke 21, verses 25 through 36, and we're going to hear Pastor Arnie Berglund give a sermon on that. Before we do so, let's begin together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Gospel according to Luke. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you might have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of our Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Beloved of Christ, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every Thanksgiving, I think about my brother John. John stood at 6'6", and he never made 190 pounds. He was skinny as a rail, and he could eat us under the table. There is that time every year in Thanksgiving, I think for most of us, between the meal and the ability to eat a piece of pie. You can't possibly think of eating another bite, and the idea of pie is hours away. Well, not for my brother. He would eat right through it. By the time we were all ready for a slice of pumpkin pie, John was still there. How could he possibly be hungry? Well, the pie is gone. The turkey is a memory now. All around us, Christmas preparations are popping up. In this in-between time of Thanksgiving and Christmas, let's think about hunger. Beneath our Christmas cheer, there is a hunger, I think, a spiritual hunger that strangely emerges each year at this time. The bright lights and the cheery music that start at least at Thanksgiving this year, much earlier, may bring some measure of comfort. Here in this church, with somber Advent hymns and deep blue colors, with our apocalyptic scriptures and melancholy liturgies, the church seems strangely out of step with the secular world. But there we are, and it reminds us of who we are we are reminded that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are not to be conformed to this world. Instead, we are to be transformed by the astounding good and great news of the Christian faith. But before the good news of Jesus' birth comes the bad news. Things are not the way that God intends for them to be, and the sooner that we are able to admit this, the sooner we can move into the fullness of God's promise. A simple reading of these verses from Luke tell us that they come just before the passion story of Jesus. We hear Jesus predicting terrible times, destruction, war, political catastrophe, suffering, natural disaster. It's almost as if he's offering these words of warning to himself about the darkness and the suffering of the cross that is to come. I think an even deeper reading of this text shows us that these words are a retelling of a story written 50 to 60 years after the Passion, after the destruction of the temple, after the wars, the suffering and the turmoil and the political catastrophes of first century Palestine. These words then are written for a people already molded by the suffering and fear and turmoil that the words predict. Luke describes events that took place after Jesus' death, but he describes them through the eyes of Jesus as if he were there, how he would feel, what the world would say, what he would say, what he would do. And so Luke gives us a God's eye view of reality. Luke offers up for us a historical big picture, if you will, of the view of reality that we can all use when we find ourselves in tough places. In the documentary Salt of the Earth, came out a number of years ago, we learned the story of Marthaim and Elizabeth Sanders, who were Presbyterian mission workers in Palestine. The documentary tells the story of ministering to a small Christian population in the occupied West Bank, the village called Zabada. Amidst mortar attacks and midnight raids, the innocent death of people they love, these missionaries tried to offer a God's eye view of the tragedy that they were experiencing, a vision that can bring healing and hope amidst hostility. Now, in the Middle East, Easter is celebrated in a particular way. The tradition is that on Holy Saturday, the day before the Orthodox Easter, the Greek Orthodox patriarch enters the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and after a moment of prayer, he emerges with the holy fire, which he then passes on to the faithful. From there, with shouts of "Christ is risen," the flame is spread to the churches all over Israel and Palestine. Unfortunately, because of the tight occupation gripping most of Palestine, that ritual can become impossible for Palestinian Christians because of the difficulty they have making it through military checkpoints. Well, the documentary tells the story of how Marthaim Sanders decided to make that impossible thing happen. And so he borrowed a car from a Catholic missionary, and he borrowed some lanterns from Orthodox Christian and a robe from an Anglican priest, and he started out early on Holy Saturday to go and get the light. Immediately, he was stopped and threatened at a checkpoint. He was verbally harassed, but because he was an American citizen, he was allowed to pass. So he rushed to Jerusalem, getting there just in time to receive the holy fire from the patriarch. Now the trick was to get that flame back home through all those checkpoints before that fire went out. Well, late at night, he once again entered that tricky checkpoint, and this time he was stopped with an M16 nervously waving in his face, and his baggage was searched, his car was searched. Finally, blessedly, he was let through, and when he arrived Back home, he was greeted by a large crowd of Christian Palestinians. And so at midnight, that joyful throng of resurrected people traveled from church to church, bringing the light of Christ, the hope of Christ, to the Orthodox, the Catholic, the Anglican, the Lutheran communities, the Presbyterians. Martha Ames' reflection on that day are at the very heart, I think, of this day's gospel text. The good news, the hope that is always stronger than darkness, when life is seen from a God's eye point of view. In the documentary, Sanders says this: everyone agreed that the arrival of the holy fire that year paled in comparison to the celebration of brighter days, but it was the biggest event in years. The days are still dark in Palestine. The economy is destroyed, he said. The roads are closed. The army comes to town far too frequently. But for a brief moment, the Christians in the northern West Bank were reconnected with the hope, the miracle, the light of Christ. Luke's words in our Advent scripture for today are written to people living with the kind of darkness and despair that the villagers of the West Bank live with every day. And what Luke imagines Jesus saying to them and to us is this: bad things happen. In fact, bad things happen to good people in an unfinished world, a world of sin, a world of free will and selfish living and power politics. Bad things happen to good people, but bad things are never the final word. Through his 27 years of imprisonment, Nelson Mandela refused to give in to the bad things, and now he remains one of the most vivid icons of hope. In his autobiography, he wrote, "I have found that one can bear the unbearable if one keeps one's spirit strong, even when the body is tested. Strong convictions are the secret. Your spirit can be full even when your stomach is empty." Christians do not escape tribulation, just like everyone else. Sometimes we are the perpetrators as well as the victims. The difference is that Christians stand up, we raise our heads, we look at the sun while always keeping our hearts moving forward. And the reason is that even though bad things happen to good people, we trust that God is still in charge. God is beyond history and behind history. God is marching in front of history to kindle the light. God transforms the tomb of death into the womb of new life. And so, though bad things happen to good people, we live with hope and the conviction that God is in charge. In the meantime, we turn to Jesus in order to learn how to live in that darkness, how to wait, how to stay alert, how to live disciplined lives in preparation for the moment when we will be needed to bring creation to completion. Because as the people of God, for better or worse, we are the ones who bear Christ's hope to the world. So we do what we can, even if it's one baby step after another, even if we step back and then have to step forward again. We strive for compassion and tolerance in a way that mirrors, if not matches, the energy of Jesus' words to us today. Today, Christians around the world light the first candle in a four-week journey through the darkness of Advent. Rather than hiding inside the secular sentimentality of a Christmas cocoon, we are called to open our eyes to the chaos of the cosmos, called to recognize with a God's eye view the beauty and the terror of this world. And then with our eyes looking up, called to wait for God's promise to be fulfilled, rejoicing in the small wonders, the simple graces of danger-filled days. May it be so for you, and may it be so for me. Amen.
thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening and have a Christ-filled day.